You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We've got a live link there at thetrumpet.com as well. This is Trumpet Radio Live for Monday. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at kpcgfm. And if you have any emails you'd like to send, comments, questions, anything, you can send those to comments@kpcg.fm. Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau with you here today. What a weekend, huh? Plenty of headlines, lots of news. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show talks about a lot of it, and we'll preview that in a little bit. Talk about some of these big headlines, and then also Grant Turgeon will be stopping by, also with a story related to the police shootings over the weekend, and we'll take a look at some things that have happened on this day in history as well. So it's getting to be that time period, I guess, where you have to choose what to talk about because there's so much out there. You don't have to scrape the bottom of the barrel, as they say. There's just a lot to talk about. You have to choose what not to talk about because there's so much happening.
Yeah, it's amazing how much the news is snowballing. Where as time goes on, the stories get bigger and more frequent, and it's amazing that it's happening so frequently, several a day instead of maybe once a week, like where you see one big story. It's just everywhere it's exploding.
Yeah. Recent news here just coming across today in relation to, I guess you can put this in the same pot with all this police, anti-police violence that's going on. The highest ranking officer that was charged in the Freddie Gray case has been acquitted on all accounts. So you remember that that case, that's been one of the issues, I guess, that some people have been upset about. That the death of Freddie Gray, and so the highest-ranking officer has been acquitted on all accounts, and if I recall correctly, no one has had to come under any penalty for that situation. They went to trial, they looked at it, they came back, and they said there's nothing here. So that'll be interesting to see how people respond to that. It's getting to the point where people aren't really concerned about the truth of the matter; they're just concerned about getting angry, I guess, and they already have an anger, and then without looking at all the facts, it's easy to just jump in and be angry again.
Yeah, it is. This is really interesting because it was one of the high profile cases, and especially if we look at the aftermath of what happened there. I mean, finally now we're getting the verdict, but if we look at all the violence, destruction, and everything that happened in Baltimore following the rally, and no one is even guilty of anything. I mean, there could, I'm not sure there's more cases going on, but these have been acquitted by a court of law. They've been shown that they didn't, there was no wrongdoing in that situation. And yet, let's look at the thousands of dollars, the people killed, everything that went on in Baltimore, and for what?
Yeah.
I mean, I think President Obama said, the people, all they're looking for is truth. Give them space. They're looking for truth. Well, they're getting the truth now, and he gave them a buffer zone to destroy things when, I mean, there was no wrongdoing at all.
Right. Are they, is the same mob going to go back downtown and rebuild that area and pay the shop owners back for the destruction? Yeah, of course not. Well, of course, this weekend was the big headline was the killing of three police officers. The U.S. is still reeling from those deaths, three officers in Louisiana on Sunday morning. And this is a comment that was made by Mike Edmondson, the Louisiana State Police superintendent, in relation to that situation.
It's just a horrible incident. I don't know what a better word to use. I mean, you've got individuals today that are just ordinary people that were extraordinary in what they did. I mean, hero is not even a word for those police officers out there, those sheriff's deputies, and those city officers. I mean, just incredible human beings. And to stand here with my brothers that we've grown up together, you know, to see their emotion in the hospital this morning was just unbelievable.
So that was Mike Edmondson, Louisiana State Police Superintendent there, and just addressing the mood, the feeling. You know, those guys have done a lot, those officers, to protect, to serve, to help. And then even one of them, a lot of the headlines today are about one of the officers killed who had just put out some Facebook posts recently, just you know, pleading for peace and for calm, and I think saying that he loved the city, but he didn't know if the city loved him. And then he ends up getting shot and killed. It's just crazy, crazy stuff that's happening. And so this is one of the other headlines about that. This came from Drudge picked it up. It was their top story. Obama says police can make the job of being a cop a lot safer by admitting their failures. This is on the heels of yesterday saying that people needed to tamp down the rhetoric. It says, fielding a question about the violence against police in Dallas, Texas last week, which left five officers dead, Obama said police officers will be safer once they acknowledge their failures. He said, quote, there are legitimate issues that have been raised, and there's data and evidence to back up the concerns that are being expressed by these protesters. That's not true. Yeah, the data is out there. I'd like him to cite some of that data because that's not accurate.
Right.
The data flies in the face of what he's saying. He went on to say, and if police organizations and departments acknowledge that there's a problem and there's an issue, then that too is going to contribute to real solutions. No, it's not. He says, and as I said yesterday, that is what's going to ultimately make the job of being a cop a lot safer. It is in the interest of police officers and their communities trust when their communities trust them, and that kind of rancor and suspicion that exists right now is alleviated. It's hard to comment on that without getting kind of upset. That is, well, that's what's being said, and then we wonder why there's problems.
Right. I mean, I think this is the last thing you would want. If you're a police officer, you want the president of the United States to say, basically, that your friends, your family is being gunned down by people specifically targeting you, and then you're the one has to admit you're at fault. It's not anyone else's fault. You're at fault for everything that's happening in this nation, for the violence, for the turmoil, and that's hard to take. And I mean, like you said, is absolutely not true. I mean, on the Trumpet Daily and other places, we've quoted the stats. Out there, they're out there for anyone to look at on the internet if you want, and they don't support this at all. And if anything, if the rhetoric needs to get toned down, this isn't the way to do it either. And it's just the next instance of how President Obama has just made the situation worse by his rhetoric, by his actions, by not supporting the law enforcement, and instead supporting protesters who are inciting the violence.
There's another headline here from CBS News along those same lines. The White House responds to a petition to label Black Lives Matter a terror group. So there's a petition that's been out there a few days. There's been some debate on how it started, but in any event, there was one out there. It got enough votes to where the White House had to take a look at it. And the petition said terrorism is defined as, quote, the use of violence and intimidation in pursuit of political aims. That's the We the People petition that was created July 6th on the White House website. It says this definition is the same definition used to declare ISIS and other groups as terrorist organizations. And so they said, are you going to come out and label them as terrorists? The We the People team noted that the White House, this is what the White House came back with, the White House plays no role in designating domestic terror organizations, nor does the U.S. government generate a list of domestic terror organizations. They said, therefore, we are not able to address the formal request of your petition. The White House then went further, acknowledging that it was, quote, a difficult time for the country, and that the debate remains a charged one. The statement additionally prompted petition signers to consider President Obama's words calling for compassion toward the movement. It's hard to have compassion when people are getting shot and killed.
Yeah, what about compassion towards the cops? I mean, it's just amazing that that the administration can continue to circumvent these types of things and that the media doesn't nail them for it. I mean, imagine if a different president said the same thing that President Obama did. I mean, they've said less worse things, as harmless statements, or even Donald Trump, and they've been nailed for it for weeks. And the media has ignored what other things going on just to play these other stories in their wake. But yet this gets not enough attention and not enough just clarity looking back at everything he's done.
Well, the media is very complicit. You have to read the book, America Under Attack. that gets it all in perspective. It's a free book at thetrumpet.com. Make sure you look at that. If you've looked at it before, look at it again, because it really gets everything in perspective. The Washington Post always sends out an email with their top headlines in order. So on this day, after you have these shooting of the police officers, you have the terror attack last week, you have the Turkey coup, attempted coup, their top headline, the most important thing in the world, they said Donald Trump doesn't read a lot.
I saw that headline as
well. I mean,
well.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's embarrassing. It's an embarrassment. It's just outrageous. That's the top headline today? That's the biggest thing to be concerned about?
Right. Well, I even saw yesterday all the headlines about what happened in Baton Rouge, and you had these top journalists and writers at all the big newspapers going on about how Donald Trump's decorum in his office in Trump Tower would be the same as Saddam Hussein, and people calling it tacky. Like, you would analysis on that, but never mind analysis on what's going on in this country, on the five terrorist attacks in the last month. All these different things are a matter of national security, of this nation falling to pieces. But all they can do is spend their time and wasting everyone's time and money on talking about Donald Trump's chair or how he uses Twitter or reads.
It's like a bad high school newspaper, that type of writing. It's embarrassing.
Right. Yeah.
This is embarrassing. I mean, you wouldn't even get a passing grade in high school for that. At least not, I don't think so. It's terrible. You know, there's interesting too, because in their list of headlines, way down at the bottom, they had one. They said, after 8 years of hope and change, people are more discouraged than ever. I thought, oh, that'd be interesting. So I looked at it. You know what the whole slant of it was? People don't like the new two candidates. And they had a quote in there saying, well, maybe, you know, Obama should be in there for another term. Why, you're discouraged after 8 years of what's just happened, but it's the fault of the two people that haven't even come in yet? How does that even make sense?
Yeah, it's unbelievable that all the discussion right now politically is directed at the future. I mean, you do need to have a lot of discussion about that. But all the problems we're facing right now, this politically charged atmosphere and the violence, they're really basing around, well, the Republican convention, well, the rhetoric coming from the Republicans, what Donald Trump and the Republicans might do if they win, rather than, well, let's look at the past 8 years and see the fruits. Let's look at the results of President Obama's policies on the international stage and then in this country. And, I mean, those are the bitter fruits we're eating right now as a nation. And that's what we need to really be concerned about, because if we're not willing to really see those things, then we don't have even a chance at the future.
Really interesting times. It's going to be an interesting week ahead. You have the RNC camp or convention going on this week, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there. And just so much happening in the news, boy, every single day. Of course, one of the other big stories was the failed coup attempt there in Turkey. According to Fox News, 6,000 detained after failed Turkish military coup, including commander of U.S.-linked base. So that was an interesting situation. It looked like for a while the military was going to take over, then they didn't. But what happens now on the flip side of that is Erdogan gets to purge the military, purge the judicial system, basically get rid of anybody that opposed him. And so it's worked out in his favor in terms of what he's able to do now after this attempted coup.
Right, yeah. This actually, it does remind me of we're still trying to figure out if it was a legitimate coup or not, but it does remind me of something Hitler did when he bombed the Reichstag. But his own followers did, but then he blamed everyone else for it, and he was able to get emergency powers and expand his popularity and his power there. And there have been some people suggesting this, but also it was just odd watching it, because Erdogan was gone on vacation somewhere, and he came back and safely at the airport, and he Skyped or FaceTimed his interview on the news, and just all these ridiculous things. And the fact that like you said, the consequences fall right into his agenda, that he can even kick out the U.S. base there, which in Incirlik, which helps fight, which is the U.S.'s main base to fight against ISIS and other their ability to project power in the Middle East. Just interesting that all this is just going to push forward his agenda light years ahead of how he would have had to do it otherwise.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, the way he came back into town like a knight in shining armor and saved the day, it just seemed a little too too put on.
Yeah.
I don't know. They say following a failed coup against Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the government moved swiftly Sunday to shore up his power and remove those perceived as an enemy, saying it has detained 6,000 people. The crackdown targeted not only generals and soldiers, but a wide swath of the judiciary that has sometimes blocked him, raising concerns that the effort to oust him will push Turkey even further into authoritarian rule. He, if you've read much about him and some of his history over the last how many ever years, going from prime minister to then he was now he's president, he's done a lot to eliminate his competition. And as much as they keep touting this, you know, democracy and you know elected by the people, it's interesting that he's always at the top. I guess just a popular guy.
Yeah, what's what's interesting too is the way in which the coup was done, and the last military coup we've seen in that region was Egypt, where you had Morsi in there, and then the top Egyptian military leaders came in, arrested him, and took over control. And what's interesting about this is how the military struggled to get a foothold. There were no top generals a part of it. The prime minister wasn't a part of it, and Erdogan was gone. And one person, during when all the news was pouring in, they said, well, if you're going to take a shot at the king, make sure you don't miss, because then he's going to come back at you. And that just all the steps you think would be in place to actually see it successful weren't even on the radar. So it is interesting, but like you said, Erdogan comes in like he's the people's hero, like he's their only hope against this military coup, when in fact a lot of people were protesting vehemently all the changes he was making in the country. So it is, I think, somewhat of a North Korea move where it make the leader look like this big protector of the freedom of the people, when really, like, you weren't even, you got 100% of the vote, quote unquote, but it's not really there.
Next, he'll be releasing birds into the wild, like Vladimir Putin,
right,
finding sunken treasure in the Black Sea. All kinds of exciting things. Well, and then of course there's that guy that's over here in Pennsylvania that I guess left Turkey in back in 99 or somewhere in there. And they're trying to blame him for it. I don't know. We don't know the details. But it all has that feel of like that Benghazi YouTube, you know, let's blame somebody that's a way away. Now, maybe he was involved. I don't know. But it'll be interesting now because they're trying to extradite that guy back to Turkey.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see what actually happens there. There's a really good Key of David program about Turkey. Turkey Will Betray America. We played it over the weekend on KPCG because that's what Turkey's going to do. I mean, they've got we didn't have time to talk about it today because there's just so much happening. But you know, they've got some nukes over there. I mean, they're the third biggest military, I think, over in that region from what I understand. So
right.
I mean, they're big, and they've got a lot of firepower there. And so you need to go back and look at that Key of David program on Turkey and kind of see what they're up to and what they're going to be doing. And Europe is coming out, like a spokesperson for Angela Merkel came out today and said, you can't go and give the death penalty to all these attempted people that were in this coup because we don't allow that in the EU. And if you want to be part of the EU, you can't do that. So there's kind of a conflict with Europe. There's a conflict with America. They're just really stirring it up.
Yeah, it's Turkey's, I think they kind of other countries over the barrel right now. I think because they aren't such a strategic region. Europe needs them to stop the migrants, to kind of flank Russia in the Middle East, to fight ISIS. America needs them because we need their military bases, because Russia has Syria. We need them as well. They're also a cornerstone of the Western defense against Russia as well through the whole Cold War, and it continues to be. So it is interesting that both those powers need them. And I think Erdogan knows that, and he can kind of get away with what he's doing because they don't want him going over to Russia or some other, or to Iran or anything like that, because that would just completely ruin their whole strategy. So I think it's interesting to see how it will play out. Just the leaders in the West can talk big in front of everyone, but if they actually wanted to do something about it, they would have already done it.
Interesting to see what happens over there in Turkey. It's amazing. That would normally be like the big headline, but because of everything, it's kind of pushed down. There's so much happening. Here's an interesting one, kind of a not as important necessarily, but just kind of interesting. When you think of Daytona Beach, first thing you think of course, is earthquakes, right? Yeah. Small earthquake struck about 100 miles off of Daytona Beach in the Atlantic Ocean. We're not used to getting a lot in that area, I guess. The U.S. Geological Survey says a magnitude 3.7 earthquake struck at about 4 p.m. on Saturday. There are no reports of damage or anything like that. Earthquakes in Florida are rare, and those that cause damage are almost non-existent. According to the USGS, two earthquakes that struck 10 minutes apart in January 1879 knocked plaster from walls in St. Augustine and were felt as far away as Tampa on the Gulf Coast. But obviously there haven't been a lot. If you got to go back to 1879... it says earthquakes of less than magnitude 5.4 rarely cause damage, thankfully, because we've had quite a few around here, but they haven't been too strong. The USGS says that there are about 930,000 such quakes recorded worldwide each year, so quite a few of them, but it's just kind of interesting when you get one off of Daytona Beach there. Not a lot that happened in Florida, so... Florida's going through an interesting time. They've got the pollution problem with their water, and... The governor has appealed to the federal government for help, and the federal government said, "Nah, it's your problem." So, thanks.
Right. Yeah, it is. With Daytona Beach, the first thing I think of are motorcycles, because they have the big motorcycle shows down there every year on the beach. But yeah, it is interesting with Florida. It's kind of like the East Coast, California, because it is the warm weather and people go there for vacations and retirement and everything. But then you get these huge environmental problems. And even in Miami and other cities, the infrastructure is collapsing and the businesses aren't actually doing that great necessarily. But then there's so much going on in this country that's not even going to get a mention, because there are other priorities they have to get to. And when this is very important, they'll just have to try to figure it out on their own, I guess.
Yeah, some of those nice areas in the U.S. have been under siege lately. California's had their problems. Florida with the water pollution in particular having some issues there. So not good news. This is pretty good news, though. We've got a good one to end on. Pretty interesting. CNN.com. Super telescope finds hundreds of previously undetectable galaxies. Every time they get a better telescope or they point it in a different direction where they think there's nothing, lo and behold, there's a lot out there. A South African radio telescope has revealed hundreds of galaxies in a tiny corner of the universe where they thought there were only 70. They thought there were 70 galaxies in that area. And they use this telescope, the Meerkat telescope, if I'm saying that right, Meerkat. And so they took a shot over there. It's less than 0.01% of the little patch of sky, so they're looking at a really small area. And they thought there were 70 galaxies there. It turns out there's about 1,300 that they've seen. And I'm going to take a guess and say if they could look even further, they'd see more. So it's really interesting. Every time they look out there, and think that there's, you know, well, that part of the sky doesn't have a lot in it, lo and behold, you have all of these galaxies. So there's a lot of space out there, and there's some really good write-ups at thetrumpet.com about what the point of that is. Why is that all out there? Your Incredible Universe Potential is a really good one. It's got some great pictures in there of some of those Hubble telescope images. And this most recent Meerkat telescope, it had some pretty good images as well. Kind of what, you know, we've seen in the past, but somewhat neat to see those and inspiring, because there's so many negative headlines down here. But then you look up into the sky, not a lot up there in terms of things happening, but it's peaceful. Nobody's fighting that well that we can see.
Right, yeah. It is neat to take a break from everything going on beside us and beneath us and look up and just look at nature. And it is pretty neat, the new technology. We can see further and detect more, detect things other than light, like with the radio telescope, using radio waves to detect things, because new light and new radiation reaches Earth every day that we couldn't, though it didn't reach us before, so we can see more and detect more. And it is just really fascinating to see our knowledge grow. And in fact, they released this new map of the galaxy, and it has 1.2 billion, or of the universe, I think, has 1.2 billion galaxies networked on it. And it doesn't, when you just look at it, it looks confusing, like there's no logic to it. But once you look into it, you can see this definite structure and how everything's working together to keep everything in balance, and it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's inspiring to look into those stories. Those are some of the main headlines today. And per usual, it'll all be different in 25 minutes. There's so much happening. Key of David program coming up today in KPCG. One of them is on the end time Elijah. Do you know who that is? Make sure that you listen for that program. The Bible said he would restore all things. And, of course, we talk a lot about Herbert W. Armstrong, who fulfilled that. And some of the major prophecies he talked about for years, Brexit being one of the biggest ones recently, but there's a lot of them besides that as well. Make sure you listen for that program on the End Time Elijah. Trumpet Daily Radio Show with Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. Today he talked about this big story. Yesterday, three police officers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, were shot and killed. Three more were injured. Violence against law enforcement is spreading to every corner of the nation. Dallas, Minnesota, Memphis, North Dakota. It's pretty bad if you've got problems in North Dakota. Every day the nation becomes more divisive. The police chief in Baton Rouge had the most profound reaction out of all the experts, leaders, and journalists weighing in on the crisis. The police chief said that the violence we are seeing has everything to do with what is in the heart of man, and unless we have God's help, we will perish as a nation. It's pretty chilling. I saw that comment, and I also saw a few others where people are starting to say things like, if we don't get this under control, like, we're not going to exist anymore as a people. I mean, when has that been said before in modern times? You know, maybe civil war, but since then, has that really been said? And not said in a way where somebody thinks, oh, that's just crazy talk. But it's, you know, it's your police chief saying these things.
Yeah, it is interesting that the language, and people are starting to realize this is something that is a challenge to our national survival that we haven't seen since the Revolution, the Civil War, or wartime even. But we're fighting among ourselves. And it is pretty chilling to see secular people who experience these things come to that conclusion.
So it's a really, really good program, very important program, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with Stephen Fleury. Make sure you listen for that today here on KPCG. If you can't catch it live or one of the replays, you can always get the archive version at kpcg.fm. And I know what you're thinking. There's all these headlines and I feel tense. You need to relax a little bit? Not a problem. We're going to take a quick break here and play one of the performances from the Philadelphia Youth Camp Talent Showcase. That camp is going on here on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong, and the youth had a talent showcase. We're playing some of those pieces for you that were performed in Armstrong Auditorium. This piece is Rhapsody in G minor. Number two by Zachariah Henderson, who is age 16. Nice piano piece for you. After that, we'll be back, and I'll be talking with PCOG.org writer Grant Turgeon. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. Online at kpcg.fm.